Good morning. There we go. Hey, well, Tom doesn't realize it, but he gave away the answer. Who are you? The church. Exactly. Now, when I was, well, let's say, I'll just say 50 years ago, but a little bit more than that probably, one of the things they taught me in Sunday school was this little thing. Went like this. Well, let's say, I got to do this right. Here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Now, when they taught me that, I went to a church that was probably about the size of our old church. And it had pews. And there would be 160 people in that church. And I know it was no bigger than our old church. And I would imagine 50 years ago, there was 120 people sitting in these pews, possibly. Now, it's a good thing I've got a long time. I mean, Pastor told me 3 weeks ago, so what do? You sit down and you pray. And, you know, what do you want me to speak on? And he said, well, the church. And I said, well, the church, but that's a pretty big topic. And I said, Bill, can you narrow it down? And I said, well, then I was driving, and the neat thing is the Lord speaks to you in many different ways, and I was driving across town. I was just going downtown, and Robbie Zacharias happened to be on there, and one of the things he was talking to some preachers, and he said, whatever you do, make sure that you use an illustration that's relevant for the time that everyone would recognize. And so I go, okay, Lord, I need an illustration for the church. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, that can't be right. He said, Lord, that can't be right. And he just kept insisting that it was right, so I'm going to give it to you, because it took me a good week just to get over to the illustration. So anyway, it was about the end of January, 1st of February, and so I said, Lord, give me a picture of the church. And what he showed me is, if you can imagine this, it was the House of Representatives, and there was President Trump, and behind President Trump was Vice President Pence, and then just to the right was Speaker Pelosi. And he was delivering his State of the Union address. And I go, Lord, I said I want a picture of the church. And well, of course, it was a day or so after that, and so I was looking at the news, and then I said the National Congressional Day of Prayer, whatever it was, the next morning after the State of the Union address, one of the things that I heard was that both President Trump and Nancy Pelosi were there. Now, the illustration, and I'm not going to stay on this illustration long, but one of the things, if you think about the church, quite often, if you look at the church throughout history, there's always been at least two people vying for your attention. Now, and the two people are quite often opposed to each other. The church has never been necessarily a peaceful place. However, that's the church as the world would look at it. Now, what Tom said is that we are the church. It isn't a building. It is people. And throughout that, there's been lots of names. In fact, I looked in here as I said, okay, Lord, how does God look at the church? Or how does he look at his people? Well, first of all, we are God's people. And that's always been both Old and New Testament. There's 47 references, different references, in the Old Testament to the church or to his people. Starting before Abraham. And one of them is Abraham's descendants, the children of Abraham, and so forth. In the New Testament, there's 67 references. And when we look at that, one of the things that I, when we look at the church today, and we see the church, first of all, you're going to see, if we look at it in the world's eyes, there's some things that we need to know about the church. Because if you ask somebody if they're a Christian, because thinking about the House of Representatives, almost everybody that was in the House of Representatives that day would have said they were Christian. Even some that now say that they are either atheistic for their religion, and atheism is a religion. In fact, many of the atheists I know are far more religious than most of the Christians I know. Some of the ones that even claim to be Muslim at one time claimed to be Christian. But I sometimes am amazed at how the news media can come up with Christians that don't believe in God, that don't believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, or Christians that don't believe they're sinners. Now, the people of God have certain distinguishing marks. One is, if you are of the household of God, or if you're one of the people of God, you know full well you are a sinner. If you do not recognize yourself as a sinner, you do not belong to God. Now, the other thing, which is very important, is that the church has always been referred to as a remnant. Now, salvation, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for every sin that's ever been sinned and every sin that will come. All sin has been paid for, no matter who you are, but not everyone will accept it, and some people will perish because of it. Now, that's also something that's very much there. The thing that we do as Christians, and there are just some few distinguishing marks, if you are going to be part of the body of Christ, which is another reference, then we will know ourselves as sinners, but we also know that this is the Word of God. Because God gave us His Word so that we could know Him and so that we could know ourselves. It's more important that we know Him than we know ourselves, because He knows us better than we know ourselves. But one of the things that we need to know about ourselves is that we're sinners. Now, actually what I'd like you to do is go ahead and put up that picture of the guy in the raincoat. Because this is another picture of the church. See this guy? That's Wuhan, China, 20 days ago. The center of the coronavirus situation. Now, one of the things that's happened since the new premier, and now he's no longer a new premier, he's been premier for about 4 or 5 years now, but in the last 4 or 5 years in China, Christians have been persecuted. Churches torn down. In fact, there was one just a month and a half ago, 1,000 people. They came in, arrested 1,000 people, and they're sitting in re-education camps along with the Uyghur Muslims. Because in China, the Communist Party, and they'll tell you, just like they told those Christians, the Communist Party is God. Now, they believe that humans are God. It's a form of humanism and atheism. But you see, this is 20 days ago. This guy's a Christian. And he's doing something that's very dangerous. He's preaching the gospel, and he's handing out tracts. But this was 10 days after they were quarantined, 10 to 15 days after they were quarantined. The neat thing is that the police will now go to this man and seek his advice. Because one of the things he has there also is he has masks. Because you see, if you go to buy a mask in China, it's going to cost you all the money you have. But he gives them away. And so this is what the church looks like. Meeting a need in China, which is neat. Now, a couple things, because I got to watch my time, because I've also got some video for you to watch. And I've got more than I can use here, believe me. Now, but what I want, and I want to get some things out there right away as far as the church goes. First of all, one of the things that we hear most every Christmas is this. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Where do you suppose the zeal of the Lord rests? In his body. Every believer also has the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that it promises here in Isaiah is that God's kingdom will increase. Throughout all of time, it will increase. And the one thing that's neat is that the church in China is growing. No persecution has stopped it. Now, we can look around, and I can talk about the fact that every pew was full. I mean, I've been in Haiti, and a pew like this would seat at least 20 people, if not 25. And when I was there, we had more pews than this. Actually, they weren't pews. They were just benches that were about that long. And they'd easily get 25 people on there. And those churches were full. Now, the fullness of a church doesn't matter so much. But God is working and he's growing his church. Of the increase of his church, there will be no end of his kingdom, at least in time. Another thing that we have that the church, that it has to be here before us, is when Jesus came to them, this is after his resurrection, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth will be given to me. This is Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, a couple of things about discipleship. I mean, one of the things that I heard, and it's one of those things where, when did Jesus' disciples actually believe that he was the Messiah? Now, the interesting thing is, before they believed and confessed that he was the Messiah, they were already disciples. Just something for you to think about. Jesus was teaching them. They were following him because he was a rabbi, and they were following him before because they were still expecting him to defeat the Romans, pretty much up to the end. But yet they did confess and they did recognize him as the Lord, which is one of the things that we will also do as Christians, as the body of Christ, as the chosen people of God, as... Let's see, what are some of the other names? It's easier just to read them here if I read all the scriptures from them. But the sheep of his pen, the people of his very own, the New Jerusalem, a royal priesthood, the heavenly Jerusalem, a holy nation, church of the living God, city of the living God, his chosen people, the chosen ones, the children of God. Now, the other thing that we also want to know about the church is that the church is the most diverse place you'll ever be. I've had the privileges of being in churches all over the United States and in Canada and Mexico and Haiti, different places. And it says in Revelation 7, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Everyone is welcome in the body of Christ. In fact, every tribe, nation, tongue will be there. There will be no race of people that will not be there. Every one of them will come as a sinner. But when they're there, standing before the throne, they will not be considered sinners any longer. They're the body of Christ. Now I got to watch my time, because it's easy to get on. But just a few things that we should just know. This is Paul reading from Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace, and that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to me, known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery is that the gospel, the Gentiles as heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Now see, one of the purposes of God throughout history has been to unite all the people, to draw all the people of the earth together. And Gentiles refers to us, and of course Israel refers to Israel. Israel is still the people of God, even though by many accounts they're disobedient. But then, a lot of us have been disobedient. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's of all the Lord's people, his grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past has been kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Now that's a pretty amazing thing. I don't think I can really explain that to you, nor am I going to really attempt, except for the fact that God has had purpose for his church and his body to bring us together so that he could make manifest the wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. He's showing us off to the heavens. We don't know exactly what all that means. We will someday, but that's just a neat thing. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Now, one of the things also which is not so evident, I mean, it's evident in China, and it's evident in Haiti, and it's evident, actually it is evident here, but if you are part of the body of Christ, you will suffer, period. Now, your suffering may not be as Christ, or it may not be like the 25 Christians on the shore of Libya in 2016, I mean, sometimes you got to wonder, you know, the lives of these other Christians that have given their lives. I mean, there are people that give their lives every day because they believe in Christ. That's something foreign to us here. Now, just like, my son-in-law preached last week and I happened to be there. One of the things he says a lot of people, a lot of missionaries sometimes say it's unfair that some people only hear the gospel once. Where here in America, there's no one in America that has any excuse for not hearing it because it's been preached here for hundreds of years. But he said, thank God I heard the gospel more than once, because if I would have only heard it once, I probably wouldn't have accepted it. And I'm certain that I needed to hear it more than once. God is faithful to work in us. Oh, let's see, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Another word for us is overcomers. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God, carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love, for God to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because of the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. We overcome because of our faith in Christ. We overcome the world. We also overcome our own flesh. And we also overcome the works of the enemy, the devil, or Satan. Now again, there are a lot of people that would say, we don't have to overcome our flesh. We should just enjoy our flesh. I went through some hell. I lived with a person that dealt drugs for years. And believe me, after a while, those people coming to buy the drugs weren't coming because they were enjoying themselves. They were coming because they felt they needed to. If they didn't, their life really became a hell. And so I got to watch that. Thankfully, God kept me on the very edge of it, because some of these people are just simply smoking marijuana. And the marijuana that people are smoking today, marijuana produces hallucinations. It doesn't always. Remember, cigarettes were sold with the idea that it was a good way to relax. It was a healthy thing to do. And they were right. After you'd worked 12 hours, because if you worked only 8 hours a day back in those days when they were doing those advertisements, you were working a part-time job. After you'd worked 12 hours, to sit down and smoke a cigarette after work was relaxing. But it still wasn't necessarily healthy. Now, one of the things that we need to do is just be aware that our influences, that sin is there, that the world needs to be conquered. We need to be overcomers. And in Christ, we can be overcomers. People can and are set free from the drugs. Wow. So much. And look at that time. But it's all right. Because what I want to show you, and hopefully this works, I really want people to understand the one neat thing about God is that throughout history, there's one thing that's very consistent. He has always made his presence known to those who want and seek him. He will never deny anyone who seeks him. Now, there are a lot of people that don't want to seek him because if you seek him, he's going to have expectations for you. He asks for obedience. But that obedience is only for our own good. Now, there's a lot of things here that I just love to get. But the neat thing about doing a sermon is that I had 3 weeks of poring over the scriptures, reading his word, and believe me, there is nothing greater than to have the privilege to read his word. And because I was preparing a sermon, I was more likely to say, God, is this really what you want me to say? Now, what I'm going to show you, we're going to have about, and when I first watched this film, it was 2 days before Soleimani, if you remember him, was killed in Iraq. But the neat thing is that the fastest growing church in the world right now, at least according to many people, and I've had more verifications of this. First of all, you can't fact check in America. That's nonsense. If you want to know what's going on in the world, don't watch American news. I don't care who it is, NPR, Fox News, CNN, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get a lot of the news. Most of the news isn't even going to be available to you. Now, this film was made, and you're going to see excerpts from it, in August of 2019. It shows you and talks about the church in Iran. And the neat thing is that if you want to see and hear about the church of God, the people of God, pay attention to those that are living it, where it could mean, I mean, my Christianity will probably not mean my life tomorrow. I mean, I no longer have a job, I guess, so I don't have to worry about that. But but this is a reality. This comes from, and I just want to make sure that I announce it, because from Frontiers Alliance International. These guys back here have a little bit of a job because they're going to show you about a two-minute segment. They're going to jump, and they're going to show you another two-minute segment. Because although I'd love to show you all hour and 53 minutes, I'm not sure you want to see all hour and 53 minutes. So I chose different segments so that you can see and hear about the church, about God intervening in the lives of people as he's done throughout history. Okay, I'll be quiet.